Yeah, we're there.
Yep.
Yep, we're on.
I was too.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. It is Wednesday, May the 14th, the day before infamy. And at this time, I am going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5541, the real estate agency.
Rick, we don't get the thing tomorrow.
Do we don't?
My email says that we didn't get it till the next day because of the governor.
What? Oh, the forecast?
Yeah.
I have not heard that. That may be true. I don't know. I don't have the latest word on that.
There would be another day on infamy.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. I distributed to your offices yesterday afternoon a packet of material which includes the LFO recommendations. I don't know.
Thank you.
Do have some extras. Just in case.
Hand me one of those. I think I left that thing when you had arms. My other stuff has legs.
Again, just to refresh your memory, the real estate agency is a totally other funded agency. They receive their revenue from licensing and examination services of real estate professionals. You have before you what the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendations are for this budget. I will start off with the technical changes that you'll see in all agencies' budgets. First of all is the salary freeze. That reduced this budget by $76,116. And then we made the inflation reductions that are being made in all agency budgets. That reduced this budget by $33,499. And then the Attorney General rate has been reduced. There was a rate of $109 that was given to agencies to use to build their budgets. That rate has now been settled upon at $98 an hour. So we've made the adjustment for the reduction in the Attorney General rate. And that reduced this agency's budget by $28,312.
Rick, do you want to do a motion on these recommendations? Or?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure how you've been going through this. But
very easy. We look to you for instructions. So.
If there's some discussion, we can take individual motions. Let's
go ahead and go clear through it, then we'll budget.
Okay. So those are the technical changes, the adjustments that have been made. I'd be glad to answer any questions if there are any on those. Like I said, you'll be seeing these in all agency budgets as they come through. The real estate agency has two policy packages in their governor's balanced budget. Policy package 101 provides some IT enhancements to their information systems programs. This is part of their five-year plan. It has been reviewed by Department of Administrative Services, Information Resource Management Division. They have approved the plan, and this policy package continues the agency down the road on that plan. LFO is recommending approval of the package. Policy package 102 permits examination of licensed applicants on demand at a secure computer-based environment such as community colleges. Somebody could walk in and take the exam and get the results immediately. This actually is an efficiency to the agency and would eliminate the need for two part-time examination staff. And LFO is recommending approval of that package as well. And those are the two policy packages, and the LFO's recommendation is to approve the budget in the amount of $6,484,358.
like everyone forgot their paperwork this morning.
Put in the chair.
Would you like a motion, Mr. Chair?
Well, it looks like your motion covers the whole thing.
Mr. Chair, that there's two motions that would be needed, one to modify and amend the bill and then to send it to full. And you're correct, the motions would
cover everything that was done before.
Yes.
Representative Hanson.
Chair, I would move the amendments from the LFO recommended technical budget changes, policy package 101 and policy package 102.
Is there any further discussion on packages 101 and 102? Without objection? So moved.
A comment on the performance measures. The agency performance measures can be found on page 17 of the budget binder. There was not much discussion about that during the budget hearing, and so LFO would recommend that the subcommittee approve the performance measures as submitted by the agency.
Oh, excuse me, Senator Dukes.
I have a question. Page 18 in the budget book, there's a performance measure data summary, and it's agency number 3, average number of days to close a formal complaint, which is one of the performance measures. And I see that we've been working our way up and then kind of working our way down. And for 2002, the target was 100 days to close. For 2003, it's 130. And for 2004, it's 130. It's just kind of curious, do you know? But we're anticipating the planning in, but it's going to take longer.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, I could speculate, but perhaps the chair would like to ask the agency to respond to that.
Yes, sure.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Scott Taylor. I'm the real estate agent, real estate commissioner, Senator George, Senator Dukes. The closest answer I can give to you on that is there was a period in, I'm going to say, late 2000 to 2001 when our complaints actually increased. And due to the number of the complaints plus the complexity of the complaints, sometimes you'll see that it takes longer to resolve them. In our performance measures, as you can see, our goal is actually to do better to that than that. And I think that goal is achievable.
Well, I guess the numbers are different. What sheet I look at on the page 17, it says that in 2000, it's 141 days. And on page 18, it says that in 2000, it's 120 days. Now, maybe we set the target at 120 and the reality was 141. I don't know, in which case I would wonder. Usually when there's that big a discrepancy, an agency will come back and say to us, we've got a problem here. We thought it was going to be this, and these things have happened, and now we need such and such from you to help us get there.
Chair, Senator Dukes, I think I'm going to need some help here getting. I'm on page 17. Are we at goal?
I'm in the governor's budget. The governor's balanced budget.
I'm saying what?
Okay, under. What's this called? Agency summary.
Yes. Right.
Pages 17 and 18. And then I noticed, Mr. Chair, that we lopped off a little more than one person out of the budget, too. And I don't know exactly what that was going to be another question.
What is the 102?
Where were we on the
2427 positions?
We had 31.66, and now we're down to 30, so a little over 1.5 FTE, and I was just curious, and then we're struggling with consumer, you know, getting the complaints resolved, and I don't know that the two are anywhere in here related to each other, but just caught my attention.
Chair, Senator Dukes, I'll try and answer that, again, as best I can. Sometimes the actual number does relate to what our workload is. In terms of the positions that we have and investigative positions, those numbers have remained stable for a number of years. In fact, they may be one I know they're one higher than when I came to the agency. Now, looking at 2000, 2001, 2002, we were targeted at 120, 100, 100. Now we are targeted at 130, I think, for the next 3 years. I can tell you internally, this is the only thing I can do at this point. Internally, I can tell, and this area has been a concern to me, taking too long to close complaints. Not that I just want to slam complaints closed, but if they take too long to investigate, you lose evidence, you lose people, that kind of thing. Internally, what our goal is that we're striving to achieve, which are the two that we have internal in addition to these, is 60% of the complaints will be closed within, as I recall, 6 months, and 95, I think it is, will be closed within 9 months. And I think that if you get that average, that should get you to the 130 days. I don't think that's an unreasonable number given the type of cases we do. We may have been a little optimistic before.
Chair, if I have, what was reality? If all we're looking at is what the targets were, and we closed the books on some of those years, do we know what reality was?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, I don't have those numbers at hand. I can tell you this, that I review the closures monthly of the cases that we have, and some of them extend back 2 years. Others are closed fairly quickly, so it depends on the cases.
Mr. Chair, I quit. I just remember when we had this agency, a big push was for consumer satisfaction.
That's
and considering, I assume that the director is involved in the putting together the performance measures, I wish you could at least tell us how they've tracked in the past, but I guess that's not the case. And so I quit, and I'll just do whatever you want to do. Performance measures are important to us. They may be new, and they may be a foreign language to agencies, but they are important.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, just to elaborate a bit, the performance measures that we have had in the past, they've changed just by any of them. We went in, we worked with the Progress Board, we completely reviewed them, completely changed them. I think they more affect reality and are something that we can work with. Before, I think they were apples and oranges, so I'm having a little problem answering your question, because I used to have performance measures that were very difficult for me to understand.
As you write new ones, if you can't go back and compare them to the reality of what happened in the past, they're based on somebody's best guess, and they're not based on what has actually happened. So,
that segues right into what we're doing next, and that is, Commissioner Taylor, why don't you talk about the letter dated May 13, 2002, relative to the $1.3 million, because that's what we're talking about.
Mr. Chair, you're referring to my memo to you.
That's correct. And then to all the members, that's in the bottom of the packet.
What Senator George is referring to is I met with him briefly in the hall yesterday and had an occasion to meet with Senator Morse also. You'll find the last several pages of the packet you were given today is a memo that I discussed with Senator George yesterday regarding our commitment as an agency and the efforts that we have made in the past to address property manager issues. I'll go through it briefly. One thing I think I left a misimpression last time I was here, I mentioned a number of $1.3 million. At the time, I didn't have that paperwork in front of me, and that number I had developed in preparing to develop testimony for Senate Bill 208, which had not been heard at that time. In fact, it still has not been heard. And so I was taking the memory, or the number from memory. I couldn't remember the period of years it had covered, the number of cases, or anything like that. First, I'd like to say that the problem of missing funds out of clients' trust accounts is one that the agency takes very seriously. Generally, if it involves a broker actually removing those monies by conversion to his own account, I'm not going to say generally, that involves the revocation of that individual's license, and that's all we can do statutorily. I remember back in 1995 as a real estate broker in Southern Oregon, we were still coming out of the recession of the late 80s or 70s, and I remember a case in Eugene where a property manager had stolen $35,000. There was a case in Medford where a broker's staff had stolen about $25,000. So it's not a new situation. It's one that we've encountered over the years. The numbers I gave you are very soft numbers. I included in those numbers some alleged figures that, frankly, I can't prove, but I believe them to be at least somewhat realistic, that totaled $1,300,000, and that occurred from 1998 to date. It includes 13 cases, so if you do the math, that works out at an average of about $100,000. We've already implemented two things to try to address this. I think we have two problems. One, we have some dishonesty problems. The second is, I think we have people out there that don't know what they're doing. To address the first problem, one of the things we did with Senate Bill 446 last session was increase the number of hours that property managers must take in pre-license education substantially, and I believe that number went from about 40 to, I know the number today is 60. And the increase went in the areas of accounting, trust accounting, and what I would call general business bookkeeping, because that's where we're finding the real weaknesses. Additionally, in the rules that were promulgated that became effective July, relative to clients' trust accounts for property managers as a result of Senate Bill 446, we did another thing. I think it was the 1999 session, the legislature repealed an act that required real estate property managers' tenant security deposits to be in what was called a low-income housing account. That legislation that year repealed that, and what we've seen that happen in a lot of these cases where we had the losses, 2000 I think was the year we had the biggest number of cases, what we had was people merging those monies back into their general operating fund trust accounts, and so all of a sudden you had this big slush fund that remained relatively stable. So someone could, if they were so inclined, start funneling off that money, and it would take quite a while before somebody's check had bounced, for example. What we did with the rules this last summer were we required, again, that those accounts that were the security deposits be maintained in a separate account so that the operating accounts, depending on how they did them, would not have that slush fund sitting there, and to make it more difficult to do that. Additionally, this year, we proposed in Senate Bill 206, basically mirroring what the bar did a number of years, that would have required, it actually didn't require it, it was a little more voluntary, and that's what the bar had to do too, but basically would put the banks notifying us that a person's client trust account had an overdraft. That, in order to move the bill, we had to edit it out because we had some industry opposition. I will say that there are a number of property management organizations in this state, and to get them all going down the same road is somewhat difficult because they sometimes work at cross purposes, plus they represent different constituencies. Additionally, we introduced Senate Bill 208, which I believe you have in your package. That bill did not get a hearing. That bill would have required some bonding of property managers for them to proceed.
Did you have a question?
I just think that makes so much sense. I mean,
so where's the bill?
Bill,
excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, the bill has not been heard. It was introduced into Senate Bill 208. It was in Senator Nelson's committee. We had three bills. All of our bills were sitting there. I went up and spoke with Senator Nelson and going through the bills and trying to do what we needed to do to get them moving. Because one bill changes escrow law somewhat. 206 that I alluded to, we need to have. It has some significant changes that causes some grief because of some either editing errors or unexpected consequences of Senate Bill 446. There was opposition to the overdraft notification. He didn't seem to be inclined to let it move forward without getting that opposition removed, and I didn't see a way we were going to do it, so we edited it out to move the bill. Senate Bill 208 that he mentioned seemed to have significant opposition from the property management field, though I know there are those that supported it also.
So they would have to be bonded? That's
yes.
A consumer issue.
I understand that, but I have to get it through the committee.
I know.
So I told him.
I'm talking about us on that piece.
I told him if that one languishes, we'll work on it on the interim. But that's where we are with it.
Senator Carter, most of us recognize the young man that's in the back here, and he talked to most of us about what almost happened to him relative to this mismanagement. I mean, I just really have a real bad feeling about leaving this building and not tightening this thing up. I mean, this is really bothering me.
Me too.
Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had visited with Senator Nelson previously and in fact again last night, and expressed to him that I felt that the industry let this issue drop and is not adequately addressing what is a very serious consumer issue.
Uh-huh.
And to me, I don't care whether it's $1.3 million in 1 year or $1.3 million over 4 years. The seriousness of the issue remains the same. It needs to be addressed. And I had the sense that Senator Nelson realized that there's unfinished work on this issue, and that somehow between the industry and the department, we need to come to some agreed-upon strategy to solve this. But I share your concern. We ought not to leave this building without having this addressed. Particularly, Mr. Chairman, if you look at the capacity of the agency, they're performing audits at the rate of 1 per 22 firms per year, if you take your biennium ratio. And that's not a very good ratio. One of the suggestions I made to Senator Nelson, and I haven't discussed this with the industry, but to have some form of audits required by the property management firms themselves, and even to the extent of a full certified audit, depending on the size of the agency, so that we have an annual review of these accounts and making sure that we're not having people run off with money. Because I come back to the commercial banking and the trust account business.
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference. And if banks were running off with members in banks running off with money to the tune of this,
yeah,
we'd have the feds all over us. So I think that there is something that's going to be done, and I think we can all encourage Senator Nelson and his committee to, and the industry, to come back to this issue and figure out how do we tighten it up.
Yes, sir.
Senator Carter.
Thank you.
I think when an agency comes and basically says, please help, we want to clean this up,
mm-hmm.
we have an obligation to help. And I would like to suggest, and I was just talking with Senator Dukes, and I had a suggestion that why don't we hold this budget piece up and to bring about a little pressure in the Senate so that we can help them out. I think it's imperative that we do something. I don't feel good leaving here knowing there's a big hole in the system like mm-hmm. this, and the agency has asked us to help, and in a day when we're trying to do a better job in, quote-unquote, getting out the fat and bring more faith and healing to government because people don't trust us, I'm not going to do it.
Mr. Chair. Okay.
And I think there's a legitimate reason for holding up the budget because I would suggest that if we can't stop this,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to have to beef up this budget to get more auditors in it
yeah.
to try to control it better if we can't put the control on the other end.
Right.
And so I think that's a discussion that somebody needs to have with somebody.
I just asked Rick if there was anything prevented us from dropping a letter to Senator Nelson saying, look, we're going to hold the budget. We have concern about this issue. So the person was taken off of his work, right, had to be down here again to advocate not only on behalf of himself but on behalf of others that this not happen to them. And I think we have an obligation since the first goal is to provide protection for Oregon consumers and real estate-related circuit. And then we provide a structure that is, in fact, to set up a mechanism for quality performance, and then we would walk out of here and have people still at risk. And if we're not going to do anything about this, we at least need to maybe have the press contacted and say, warn folks that they want to be on guard relative to these kind of potentials. House members, I'm looking to you for some opinion here as to where we go with this. Help me out here. Representative Hanson?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. The mysteries of getting bills to move in the Senate is something I'm not an expert on. So I don't know.
We're all having that trouble.
Two Republicans, two Democrats. We still don't understand that.
So,
yeah, this is one of several hundred bills sitting over there.
Requesting the committee to move to Ways and Means if their workload is such that they can't, that they don't feel that they want to deal with it at this point.
It does seem to have a direct relationship
mm-hmm.
to the budget.
To what we're doing here.
So I would hope that the discussions would continue. And I'm certainly relatively sophisticated landlords. Should be aware of what the problems are, and they have ways to protect themselves. We had significant cash flow coming from a rental property. I think I'd want to set up lock boxes and be concerned in terms of the way that the cash was covered, and have it very specific with my property manager and how it was going to be dealt with, and how I'd have access to the records and stuff. A lot of the property management is done with people that aren't very sophisticated. They've had a job transfer. Now they're living 1,500 miles away, and they retain ownership of a property that they either can't sell, or they don't feel that they want to. Part of closures of estates. I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't very sophisticated in this arena, and I think they deserve a lot higher level of protection than we get it now.
That's my point. We have a state-regulated industry that assumption would be that because of that oversight, that there would be a significant level of protection for the person who may not be sophisticated. Just assumes because they have a license that everything's fine.
I'm not going to leave this legislation without highlighting this. I don't care whether we do it through the news media or wherever. You have a state agency here that is begging for somebody to give them opportunity to close the loophole so that the vulnerability of the public is dealt with. And I'm not going to do it. I mean, if we can't help people when they are highlighting the issues, I think that we fail the public when we do that.
Riff, I'm looking to you. I mean, we could do a letter to the senator. We could ask for a transfer.
Mr. Chair, if I might, I'll just make a couple of comments. One, if in fact you do want to beef up this budget, add more resources, that has some ripple effects that you need to take into consideration as well. It means more staff, but it also means most likely a fee increase to pay for it that the agency or the clients, the licensees of the agency, the real estate professionals, will have to pay for. So I would recommend and suggest that we talk with people from the profession to get their feeling, and are they willing to pony up the money to pay for this? That's something that needs to be...
Or the other bill.
Well, that's true. Another option would be to... perhaps not hold the budget up, but through a letter get that other bill, and if that bill could be amended to increase the staffing and the funding for the agency, it then has a specific and direct relationship to the budget and would be appropriate to send down to Ways and Means. As hard as it is to understand, I still believe that these bills are policy bills. And Ways and Means Committee does not act on policy bills.
Right.
But if we can change it to make it a fiscal bill in some way, then we can get it down here and beef up their budget in that way.
Well, we can also just, prepare a letter, close the work session right now, and get a letter to the senator saying that, you know, we intend not to leave her until this thing is resolved in one way or another.
I so move. I'd like that to be a motion, Mr. Chairman, and I so move it.
Okay. Any discussion on Senator Carter's motion? Do you understand the motion? Okay. Without objection? So move. With that, we'll be adjourned.
Thank you. No meeting tomorrow.
No meeting tomorrow.